Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from the weekend, and we started a new focus. So August 23rd, Friday, was the last day of the last focus, which is do your daily practice. Take some time to make a recording that captures what you've learned from working with this month's content focus. Perhaps start a folder that allows easy access for review. And then read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see where you suffer with this particular content. Jot that down. Example, perhaps you suffer because you don't enjoy being physical, or your activity level is restricted because of injury, or you just can't find the time to exercise. And on Sunday, answer this very non-Zen question, why do you want to work with this particular issue, RL? Note, the obvious answer is, I don't want to suffer. We encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? You can hear me. Great. Sorry, I was on headphones. This is Brad giving you a call from Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
Hello.
What are you seeing this about subject, this?
Well, it's funny because one of the things I've been involved in for years when it comes to exercise is weightlifting. And for people that do that as a way of exercise, that is something that was taken over by ego years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one aspect of it that's incredibly beneficial to your body. And then there's another aspect of it to it where it deals with the aspect of vanity and how you look, which
mm-hmm.
in a way has been that's kind of taken over everything when it comes to fitness. I think if you'd ask people if they'd rather look good or be healthy, it would be look good. And
which explains, Brad, explains all those mirrors in gyms, right? And all those people standing in front of them flexing.
Right. Well, some of that is supposedly to help you with your form, Sherry. That's the underlying excuse.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
I think primarily it's to support ego, from my opinion. but the two things that I'm struggling with right now deal with consistency with exercise. And the other one, which is very much touted for people that lift weights, is that you need to go into the gym and you need to kill yourself in terms of how much effort you expend.
Yeah.
And what I have found for myself, much like with everything else that Zen teaches, is there's a middle way between too hard and too easy.
Yes.
And
yes.
So.
And, Brad, it seems to me what you laid out first is the essence of the whole thing. Are you doing this for ego or are you doing this for the human being? Because ego would happily kill him every time he goes into the gym. Just make it as miserable as possible. And from center, from the heart, from presence, it can be really enjoyable. Feeling your body be as strong as it can be right now and relaxed and comfortable and easy, that's a real source of pleasure. So that seems to me the fine line that we're always looking for.
Yeah. And it took me a while to gain the awareness that ego had really taken over my exercise.
Yeah.
Because it is possible to go in there every time and push it so hard that it's like hitting a brick wall.
Yeah.
And then you
leave
the gym feeling like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that's not good for your body. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, right. So that's the thing. And the other setup in that seems to me is when ego can make anything miserable, quitting becomes, something that a story that we're willing to entertain, right? And so there's ego on both sides of it. You know, you need to go in there. You need to really give it, right? And then, oh God, that was miserable. I don't want to do that anymore. And then it's just ego on both sides of the conversation. So now you're looking for what does Brad need in order to be as supportive of the body as possible so the human being has the best life possible.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of one of the quotes recently, the Daily Peace quotes about eating. It's you want to get to the point that you savor what you do, but leave a little bit left over for next time.
Yes.
In a way that you're enthused in the process of doing it rather
yes.
than
so
running into
excited.
A wall and splattering.
That's right.
Yes,
you're excited
exactly.
to get back to the gym because you're really paying attention to this one thing, and you really want to work with that. So you're excited to get back there and pay that kind of close attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So,
well, thank you, sir.
Things to watch. You got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, things to watch. Okay. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brett. See you soon.
Oh, yeah. See you soon. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I forgot where we were going to be next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, the thing that dropped in for me around that, right, Cherry, is that place of whenever we start a new focus, we really see the process of ego in operation. And when it is for the ego, you can recognize the self-improvement aspect of it. You're not you're not acceptable as you are, and so you have to go in order to become acceptable. The conditionality of it, if you look a certain way, then you're acceptable, right? And the sacrifice sacrifice as well as that push to quit and the resistance around it and all of those ego dynamics that are so ego dynamics.
And that are so ego.
Yes. Well, and it reminds me of the peace quote from today, I believe it was, which is to get out of the goal-oriented process of life so we can relate to our lives and everything becomes just a learning experience. There's no mistake. It's just I'm here completely here for the process of life and relating to life rather than to achieve something. And that orientation just changes our perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, the other little piece of that as you were laying it out is the realization that once we're in that loop, whatever the content is, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be right. Right. Mm-hmm. It just never is. That's the name of that game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sean from Regina, Canada, calling.
Hello, Sean.
Hello.
How
are you both?
Good, good, good. Well, I am, and I think everybody is. Yeah.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great.
So.
Oh, good. Good.
So what dropped in for me in terms of this, I enjoyed the comments from the first caller, but what dropped in for me is I've been working a lot on finding that balance around going to the gym and fitness and doing it for the right reasons and not killing myself, as the first caller was talking about. The challenge for me is the taking care of my body, doing stretching after, and that I have this notion that I don't ever have to stretch, and then, you know, a day or so later, I'm in pain and I'm taking painkillers more prone to injury. And so that's what I've decided is going to be my focus, is why do I have this resistance to stretching? I'll go to the gym for an hour long class, but then, you know, to stay for 2 minutes after the stretch or to do that later in the evening, no, it's impossible.
Right. Well, and of course, Sean, we can answer that question for you about what the resistance is, right? But what you're doing, the program you're laying out, is you're going to watch it happen, right? So that you get to the point of being really clear that, I see. That conversation about, no, don't do that, you don't have time, you don't want to, is so that you'll be in pain later and taking painkillers, right? Which, again, as we were just talking about with Brad, I think it was with Brad, was it? Yes. That's setting up the quitting, right? Because if you get enough into painkillers, they're going to become such a danger to you that you're going to need to stop doing everything that causes you to need to take painkillers, and then it's got you where it wants you.
So I just wanted to share.
And in those few minutes, to really commit to the human being, right? No, this is for him. This is what takes care of him. We're not sacrificing that, not for any conversation about time or I don't want to, or no, we're not doing that. Okay.
And it's been so lovely to watch over the months of this retreat to how much more I am interested in taking care of myself now. So this is just another step in that journey.
He's the only self you've got, right? And I mean, if you're not taking care of him, nobody's taking care of him. And if he's not taken care of, he's not going to stick around. Yeah. And then there's no more Sean. Yeah.
It's
sobering.
True.
Yeah. It's really sobering to get how high the stakes are in this game. That it really is life and death. And we look at something like stretching and think, really, stretching is life and death? Not on a content level, but on a process level it is.
Very true, very true.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that. It dropped in really quickly for me, which is unusual. But so I thought it was worthy to call in and report. And
Glad you did.
So.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Gatso. Eshel. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sean. I love it, Cherry, because it's in the content specifics that we can see process specifics.
Mm-hmm.
And how does ego do it to us? And the portal to that particular place you're pointing to where, it's trivial about the content seems trivial, but really it's the choice between the ego and the human being in every choice.
Yeah.
And the more we can see it that way, the more we train our muscles to not go to that ego place of there's forever or there's tomorrow or there's just now. And it now, because in the now, that choice is the most important choice I can make. And I get trained to do that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I think we're seeing in this is that ego will take any opportunity to try to kill us. No content, right? No content is too trivial. No situation too innocuous for ego to try to stick it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Debbie from Minnesota.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
What are you seeing?
Well, it's nice to have the learning from food right into a new content area because it's the same patterning for me completely. And it's the two patterns that are connected are the belief that I can get it just right and hurry up. It's almost like hurry up, fix it fast. So I could be forever in preparation mode and doing mode around food and nutrition and caring for the body in just the right way, and it could box out everything else. So I'm just watching it because I have been watching it. I can't say I have stopped the behaviors that I'm so used to, but I could.
That's
I
why
could
you
literally
get another
do
month,
nothing else
Debbie.
But care for my body. Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
and like my celebration was like making a process map to work with my Zen coach on the same thing. But I'm still just witnessing it, and I'm not yet changing behaviors.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
That is absolutely not a problem, because when we've seen enough, we actually don't have to do anything; it just falls away.
That's great. I witnessed that. I've seen that happen with, like, drinking kombucha, for example, and then moving to seltzer, and then that dropping away. So I know I know that happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but I do feel like it's definitely ego.
Because
of the way it could box out everything else. I mean, I could never have time for work or other people if I really went with this.
Right. And then, of course, it makes you feel bad about that, because how egocentric is that, for God's sake? I mean, you have a family. And what kind of a person are you anyway, as it is just fueling this obsession, right? Just wants you to think about it constantly, all day and all night. And then it makes you a bad person. So the only way you can be the right person is to do all of this really fast and in exactly the right way. That's what you need to do. And pursuing that makes you a really bad person. Oh, my gosh.
Right. So it's just, that's what I'm supposed to do.
It's insane.
But if I do it, it's so egocentric. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Love it. Love it. And you're seeing it. You're getting clearer and clearer and clearer. The only thing that keeps us in that kind of addiction, which it is, right, is the pieces that we haven't seen. So if I'm addicted to Coke and I don't see what leads me to it, it's the same as stress, right? If I'm addicted to stress and I don't see what's making me stressful, I'm going to stay stressful. But as soon as I see every step along the way, it just falls away because I'm not doing that any longer. I'm not getting called into unconsciousness, you know, put to sleep, made to act out, and then awakened, right? I'm there for the whole thing, and so I'm not perpetuating it. Good process. Yeah.
That's helpful.
Good. Good. All right. We'll keep watching.
Okay. Thanks, Sari. Thank you, Esmini.
Thanks, Debbie.
Gosho.
Thanks, Debbie.
Gosho.
Those are such important practice sort of training things that we want to watch out for, right, Sari? Because the awareness does transform. And the reason the awareness transforms is because of exactly what you said. As I watch the process, what I have not seen comes into awareness.
Yeah.
And if I'm watching the process and I'm there for it, I'm not in the process anymore because I'm aware of it.
Yes, I'm
and
not
so the,
doing it. I'm watching it. Yes.
Right. And it's a two-parter, right? Because that awareness, if I can see every single step in my process map, then if I can see it while it's happening, it's a completely different relating to it because I'm not awakened in order to get the being. That's that's one part of the transformation.
That's huge.
And then then the other part is the behavior change because that's how I unwind the circuit, right? Undo that. Undo that. And that wonderful way in which so many things fall away because it falls away on the content level as the process level changes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like magic. Except we're the magician, right? It's not like we're watching a magic show and being wowed. We're actually being the magic.
It's quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sari. Hi, Shwini. It's Karen from North Carolina.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. This call is just so amazing in how you outline that process of seeing the process and watching the process and every minute and not going unconscious along the way is what allows things to fall away in their own time.
Yes. When we've seen it all, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Because the intelligence animating us, as far as we can tell, is not in a hurry.
Mm.
Only ego is. And so to be able to move into a place, well, and I happen to know what you do for your living, so in both of your primary foci, what's required is patient attention so that how things happen is revealed.
Yes, because that's what I was looking at in the beginning of this focus, is just the addiction to the voices, that ego voices that control.
Yes.
And then the beauty of this retreat is bringing loving kindness and compassion to every step along the way. It just fills my heart with such joy.
Yes. Yeah.
So just to outline, my focus will be consistency. You know, I've been blessed with a very active life, and as I get older, I see that there'll need to be more willingness and attention paid to activity, and as the body ages. And I've been through a really fantastic experience with some physical therapy and rehab, and over an occupational injury, and so just how it's opening up the body and seeing what's possible, and so just continue with consistency and attention, just what we've been looking at. Yeah,
because when we're young, we don't have to pay attention. I mean, you can just, do darn near anything. And even the way Brad was talking about it, you can go into the gym and lift stuff that you should never be lifting and probably not even hurt yourself. You can just kind of do anything when you're young, assuming you have the kind of body that lends itself to that sort of thing. And as we get older, we're required to pay more attention because things don't come as easily as they did. It doesn't mean we can't do it. When you were describing that, I was thinking about who the heck this is attributed to, but the old monk who's sorting mushrooms in the sun, and somebody comes by and says, basically, well, you're so old, why are you working so hard in the hot sun? And the response is, well, if not me, who? And if not now, when? And that's the attitude of mind we want. It's not giving up. It's not saying, oh, well, I'm injured and so I can't do this, or I'm getting older so I can't do this. It's not that. It's being guided by the intelligence animating us to the way that we can do it that is best for us.
And best for all.
And best for all, because what's best for us is best for all.
So, yes, and I'm meeting my commitment of this month of showing up live every day.
There you go.
All right.
Consistency and attention.
Yep.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks,
Karen. Go happy.
Sherry, it looks like we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Oh, next lovely. Caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Oops. Okay, here we go.
It's Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. This is a great topic.
Isn't it a good topic?
Yes, as were all the others, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what I'm...
This is the one we have now.
Yes, so it's great. Uh-huh. So what I'm seeing is pretty much a lot of what everybody else was seeing. But the why, and when it came to the why, it dropped in the why that I've always had for, I guess, the motivation for exercising, and that is the need to keep my body moving and with the ability to do whatever I want and need to do, and particularly since practice, for practice sake, so that I can meditate.
Sit on the floor.
I can sit on the floor. Yeah, right. So I can do this and get up.
Yeah, right. Work in the kitchen. Right?
Work in the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to not have all these injuries, which actually can be caused by not doing anything, not exercising and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's been my main motivation. And what I'm seeing you know, after we started looking at it, is that it is a lot of what has to be is consistency. And there's even a possibility, maybe I can add a few more things. And what I want to do is be more consistent, in a sense, every hour or something, you know, to do something small, even, since,
well,
you know, I don't move around like, yeah.
That's right. That's what many of the experts are now saying, that this going to the gym business for an hour, it's great, right? And we all probably should do it, but it's not enough. We've got to be moving all day long. And we've got to be doing range of motion movements so that,
exactly,
as you say, you can get down on the floor and then you can get back up when you want to. Whatever, you know, whatever that is. And that is, boy, that's me applauding that choice to make activity be a part of your whole day, every day.
Exactly. And I do, you know, I do go to the gym twice a week. And of course, conditioning will say it's never enough. But it feels like enough for me. And I do yoga or stretching every day, but they're in like little clumps, like, you know, morning or mostly morning, I guess. And then the rest of the day, I do what I do. You know, I use the stairs. I'd use, you know, but it's still, I was, because what that brought up for me, this the reading and everything, was, you know, how it is at the monastery. It's like you almost have to be a gymnast in a lot of ways. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean? You have to, by the time you're there for a while, you are like a gymnast. Yeah, you move your body all the time. And I just see how much, you know, I'll be sitting, well, at a computer or something like that. And that's where I want to, you know, really focus on. Because that I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And Phil, to zero in on that. So the attitude of mind is, okay, so what can I do while I'm sitting at the computer? You know,
mm-hmm.
Can I do leg lifts? Can I focus on my core? Get up, have an excuse to get up every 10 minutes, and while I'm on my way to whatever, do a few dance steps and a few bends and stretches and that sort of thing. And it's the attitude of mind of the activity, right? Because it's not allowing conditioned mind to take over, put us to sleep, put us into a negative state that probably mm-hmm. does more harm for the body even than not moving.
Yes, exactly, because I could just, you know, you can feel the drain after a while.
Yes, yeah. So get your little weights and put them next to your computer and do some leg lifts, and nobody will know what you're doing, but you will just be so cheerful they'll want to know.
Exactly. And those little, if I put the props out, they'll remind me, because that's the only thing
exactly
I forget,
it.
Or I think I'm
that's
too
right.
in a hurry, or, you know, stuff like
that's
that.
That's right.
So, anyhow, that's perfect.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Sherry and Ashwani.
Thanks, Phil. And that's what I was picking up at the end, right, Sherry? That when we're training in this way with kindness and compassion for the human being, there's such a level of play in it. I think it was mm-hmm. Phil who was talking about that, or you, in terms of how every this focus includes almost every aspect of everything that we've looked at so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that place of, oh, here's what I want, or here's my intention, which is I want to be able to practice, and this is the body through which I practice. That
mm-hmm.
motivation, and to do anything, whatever it takes, consistently, even in small increments, in order
mm-hmm.
to be able to, that's the important point, right? It's the in small increments, as many times as you can do it.
Yes.
It's what makes the difference
right.
in the training process.
Yes, because it's the training. It's the attitude of mind. It's the fun, mm-hmm. the play, the being here, really wanting to mm-hmm. be here and be fully alive in every moment. That's what actually destroys ego.
Yes, and realizing that whatever resistance is there is the necessary part of the process that has to be worn away in order to get to the fun.
Yes.
And once you do, which is why it wants you to quit before that time, once you mm-hmm. do, then you're engaged in something that you want to stay engaged with.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you know how to have fun, why would you want to quit? Mm. It's hard to talk somebody out of having fun.
Yes, definitely. Right.
Right.
That brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. For the next 24 hours, the comprehensive get
Whoa,
as comprehensive
you just went away.
A picture.
You just went away, Ashwini. For the next
okay,
24
let me try
hours,
this.
For the next 24
get
hours,
get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep the issue in front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.